See? The Lord is in control. And as I look across the life of Jonah, God is in control. God follows him. He sends a great storm. He has the fish prepared for him. God, you know, there is a verse I could read that the Lord is married to the backslider. You've heard that phrase before. And there are times I can think of my own life. There's times when I've got away from the Lord. I think preachers sometimes sit up on a high pinnacle and you think they're perfect. Oh, I'm not perfect. There's times I've got away from the Lord. That might surprise some of you. But the Lord has followed me and restored me. And you can see that happening. I think it's amazing in the life of Jonah to see the Lord following him right into the fish nearly and controlling the fish. It says here, "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land." Now, I should have had the wee sort of thing for pointing out here, but if you look at this map, you see Joppa is there. You can see it there. And that's where Jonah was when the God spoke to him and told him to go to Nineveh, which is way off to the land. Okay? But he got onto a ship, and he was intended to catch about 2,500 miles over to Tarshish, which is in southern Spain. But I don't think it was very far, but I think about 2 days' journey before he was actually, he didn't get even a third of the way across the Spain. God had this service, the typical example of this great fish. And the fish swallowed Jonah. And then the fish, now, where did the fish deposit Jonah? Is my question. I thought about that, you see. Now, if he had deposited Jonah down in Joppa, that's a way south. It's about 700 miles from Joppa up to Nineveh. But you see, if the fish had swam northeast, you know, Jonah could have been deposited up near the corner of the Mediterranean Sea. You see the word missions written? Somewhere there. And that's a great job here. Thank you very much, brother. You see, Jonah, they're on the boat here, probably about here, he's thrown out of the boat, the fish. The fish must have swam, I reckon, God's following. God wouldn't have put him down here, maybe. God made it maybe easier for him this time. And the journey from here to Nineveh would have been much shorter than from there to Joppa. Now, I'm jumping a bit to conclusions, as you can see there. But it makes sense to see that, because it vomited Jonah upon dry land. Now, I'll tell you, he must have been glad to get out of the fish. Have you ever been in somewhere sometime and you were glad to get clear of it and glad to get out of it? Imagine being in a fish sort of 3 days and three nights, and then suddenly the fish vomits him up onto the dry land. He must have lain there for a wee while, absolutely astonished that at last he could see the blue, and it would be blue sky, because the skies in the Middle East would be blue. And there he was, and probably eventually sat up and looked around him, wondering where he was, you know. Maybe he was a prophet, you see, I think he was a pretty clever guy. Must have realized where he was. And you can see the situation. He was glad to get out of that fish. But in that fish, he had glorified God. He wasn't critical of God in any way. You can read this story through. He praised God. He gave thanks to God. I tell you what, if you or I had been in the spot that he was in, we mightn't have been thanking the Lord. But you read his prayer in the fish. And he was actually glorifying the Lord. But here he is, and he's no sooner
arrived on the shore of the Mediterranean Sea, probably next to that area that I was talking about, it says, the word of the Lord, verse 1 of chapter 3, came unto Jonah the second time, saying. Now, I'm very, very interested in this because, as I said before, there's plenty of times that in my life where the word of the Lord had to come to me maybe the second time or even the third time to get in track to where maybe what I was going to do. God is so gracious and so good to us. Here's a guy here, he gets a second chance. And you'd have said, oh, he disobeyed God and he headed off across the Mediterranean seas, heading for Spain and that sort of thing, as far as he could get. Of course, Psalm 139 tells us that we can't run away from God. There's people who have tried to run away from God, but you really won't run away from God in the true sense. And he gets a second chance. I like the idea too here. It says the word, no sooner had he dropped on the sands of the shore, it says the word of the Lord came to him. Jonah was always in touch with the Lord. Even in the times when he had gone away, I think this is amazing, because no sooner has he got to dry land, God's looking after him, he's in touch with the Lord. I wonder what happened here. Did God actually speak to him? Or what did happen? Did the Spirit of God reveal something to him in a language that he understood? The Bible doesn't exactly say it. It's the same with Elijah. You think of Elijah, for example. I'll be studying that soon. It talks about the word of the Lord came to him. God spoke to him. How can we get a word from the Lord? In Jeremiah, and we were looking at that the other Wednesday night, there's a lovely statement in Jeremiah which says, is there any word from the Lord? Is there? And Jeremiah was speaking to Zedekiah, the king, and Jeremiah said, there is. When did you last get a word from the Lord? And that's real. This is real. I have the word of God here. I'm indwelt by the blessed Holy Spirit. You see, I'm sealed by the Spirit. I'm baptized in the Spirit. I pray as I speak now that I'm filled with the Spirit. And as I read this book, this is God's word, as I read this book and I'm controlled by the Spirit, I can get a word from the Lord. We don't read this book as often as we should, you see. And I think there's a real challenge in this. And I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself this morning. But here's the word came to Jonah. It says, verse 2, arise and go. Now this is the second time. Unto Nineveh, that great city. I want to just take this carefully and take it gradually, because I think there's a lot of ministry just here. The word, Jonah gets this word from the Lord. That's very challenging. And the word comes, arise and go unto Nineveh. Now, I don't know whether he was lying down or what, or he was sitting up, but I don't think the word arise means to simply get up on your feet or that sort of thing. It means to maybe be ready to go, to suddenly, and I suppose this is the way God comes to us at times. God says to us to go, you know, and whether, no matter where we are, we can feel the impression of the word of God on us, you see. And the word comes here, arise and go. Now, this is the second time, unto Nineveh, and preach unto the people there, the message, the preaching that I bid thee. I think God doesn't only tell him to go, but he tells him what to preach. Notice that. When you're setting out for God, it's good not only to obey God and go where God tells you to go, but it's also lovely to get a word from God. And notice that carefully. Preaching that I bid thee. And God must have given Jonah the message for Nineveh, you see? But to go back to this, arise and go, you see, it does say in Mark, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's God says that at the end of Mark to the Christian. Go. It's interesting that go is the first two letters of gospel. Notice that. I'm sure you've heard that before, but it's good to repeat that. Go, G-O-S-P-E-L. Go is the first two letters. And inherent in the gospel is people who go to preach the gospel. You see? Go. And the message from Jesus in Mark is, go into all the world. And I tell you something, that's the message, but when you go to Acts chapter 1, here's what you find. Not only does God send people out to do his will, but he enables them. He gives people the power to do it. And when he sent out those disciples in Mark, then if you go to Acts chapter 1, here's what you have Jesus saying. He says, he's talking to the same disciples, ye shall receive what? Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. One of the great things that's missing about the present situation of Christianity is the absence of the fullness of the teaching of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit. That's the enablement. God sends you out, but he also gives you the enablement or the power to do it. You see? Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem. Now our Jerusalem is round about. Jerusalem, Judea, that's further afield. You see? Samaria, that's even further afield in the book of Acts. You're going to be witnesses, not only here, but it's widening. Samaria, and then of course Asia was after that. Cyprus, Greece, you remember Philippi, Thessalonica, Athens, Corinth, and then after that was Rome, towards the end of the book of Acts. The book of Acts is widening here, right? They're going right out, and then it says, to the uttermost parts of the earth. You see, so the message goes out to the world. Go ye into all the world, Mark says. And you can see that from Acts chapter 1. But here it says, arise and go unto Nineveh, that great city, you see. It was a great city. I want you to look just here. I'm a bit nervous this morning. I'm a very nervous preacher. I say that to young aspiring preachers. Some people think you just get up and talk. No, I can't do that. It takes it out of me as I speak. And that is from when I was 20, from when I started preaching, it was the same thing. That's my disposition a wee bit. But it keeps me that I do lots of preparation to do it. You know, it keeps you right. But look at verse 11 of chapter 4 for a minute. I want you to just show my idea, because it says, Nineveh, that great city. Verse 11, and should not I spare Nineveh? Notice it again, that great city wherein are more than, notice this, 60, that's 120, isn't it, 620s, 60,000 persons, that's 120,000 people. Now notice this, that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand. Now what does that mean? I've been looking a wee bit at that. Do you know what that is? That's children. You know, older people can discern between their right hand and their left hand. So I come to the conclusion here that there's 120,000 children. But then think of the parents, the fathers and mothers. And I reckon that that figure of 120,000 could be put up probably to 600,000 people. You see? It was a mighty city, a massive city. And you can see from that there how big the place was. Now, that great city. Now, I have a wee note here about what these people did. Brutal people. What they did was their victims were impaled on poles while still alive. Beheadings. Bit like ISIS, isn't it? Burned to death alive. Left to die in the scorching sun. Hands, ears, now private parts cut off. I'm just reading from history here. Eyes put out. Piles of skulls as you enter the city. That's just a wee idea there about how terrible. And Jonah was faced with this. Now, let's push this a bit. And I'll just dwell a minute on, further down I'll dwell on the preaching actually. But it says here, verse 3, so Jonah arose, and we can say amen to that. Here he is. The word comes a second time from the Lord, and he goes. Praise God. And went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh again was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. Now that could have been about 50 miles. Approximately about 50 miles. That was the one going through the city. That's quite a distance. It was a big, big place of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city. Now look at this. He's coming into the city. I sympathize with this fellow. Piles of skulls. People impaled. People been burnt to the stake. People in agony. This is what happened. As he came into the city, he was aware of all that was happening, the horror and the outrage of this place, the brutality of it. And many a person would have turned around and walked back out, glad to get out of it. I can see that. Sometimes when we go to witness, I just want to talk down to earth a wee bit this morning because I'm not all this. I was in a barber shop not that long ago and they were cursing and swearing. And I didn't say anything. Maybe I should have. You know? And there's times when God has spoken to me to do something, somebody in need or something, and I just haven't done it. Yeah? And there's sometimes what can happen is this to us as Christians. And the feeling was, I couldn't do it. When I would get into that situation, I couldn't handle it. You see? And that's the way we think. And when Jonah went into that place and the skulls and all the... maybe he should have turned around and ran. The brutality of the place. And sometimes we turn back. Maybe God wants us to speak to somebody and we haven't the courage to... Oh, I tell you, could we not get, and me particularly, could I not get great credence from this idea? This man, Jonah, was a better man than people think about. I tell you. He was made of more character than I've heard preachers really denigrating. But I tell you, there was more spine in him than a lot of people. You can see that. The brutality... And of course, he goes into that city. I better rush with it, that clock. And it says, he preached. Verse 4, it says, here's his message. Look at it. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, that was the message that he got from the Lord up in verse 2. That the preaching that I bid thee. And it's good if you're going to speak for the Lord anywhere, or if you're speaking to someone about the Lord, it's good to get a message from the Bible, a message from the Lord for that person. You see, that's good. There's a lot here. 40 days. I remember, and I have a copy of this message that I preached 40 years ago in Castle Dawson. What did I preach on? I preached in this verse. And the message was like this: 40 days, period of time. Nineveh, the place, and the people shall be overthrown, the punishment. Three lovely P's I had, you see? The period of time, the place, the people, and the preaching. And I preached my heart out on that message, and afterwards a fellow stayed behind. Is from Macherfeld, actually. And I was dealing with him for about an hour. Sometimes you speak to people a long time. And eventually I read him that verse. He knew everything. He knew all the verses I was talking about. I took him to John 6 and verse 37. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And he stood up. He stood up and he looked up. I says, Lord, you wouldn't cast me out if I come. And I was sitting there and I said, no. And he got down his knees beside the form of the chair. And he confessed his sins and he came to the Lord and he was saved. And that's the last time I preached on Jonah. You see? You said to me, but when that happened, why didn't you preach on it again? But, you know, you're led to different, you preach on and you, did you ever hear me preaching on that, Norman? No, you didn't. Because he can verify it. Wasn't that a lovely message Jonah got? 40. But one thing missing from that message is the cross. Notice that. There's no cross, because the cross hadn't happened yet, of course. And if you look further down, these people were saved. It says, verse 10, it says, God saw their works that they turned. Now, I'll just read this. Verse 5, here's what happened. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, and from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in it. This is the king. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violences in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we may perish not? A powerful statement from those wicked people. You see, this is God working. And I want to say today that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could even ask or think. I'll quote that again. He is able to do exceeding abundantly. And that's, of course, in Ephesians 3, isn't it? He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all. This was a way above any expectation that Jonah must have had. Jonah must have been, he must have been astonished. But then maybe in the next chapter, and I think John's dealing with that, you might get a wee different story. It might sort of affect what I've been saying about Jonah. You know, you might get that next week. I'm not sure. We'll see how John deals with it. Well, it was above all that even Jonah expected to see what happened here. Now, just, it's 5:30, and I've got to the end of what I'm going to say. But what happened was this. I believe word had got through to these people a wee bit about Jonah. Just like, do you remember the people in Jericho when the children of Israel were approaching, they were afraid because they'd heard about them in the wilderness and they'd heard about how God was working with them, you see. And I was reading one thing about this. Do you know what they call, they're supposed to have called Jonah? The fish man. And they'd heard maybe, word had maybe got through a bit to Nineveh that this man had spent 3 days and three nights in a fish. Wouldn't that have been fantastic? I remember in Ahore. Does anybody here know Ahore? I lived in between Ahore and Rich Hill. But there was a joker there. I remember him well. And this goes back to, the 50s, back even into the 40s. You know, I'm a brave age. And what used to happen was on a certain day, the fish man used to come to the district and he had a horse and a flat cart and on it was all types of fish. And he would have come down through the village or through a Ahore. And what he would have done was this, he would have shouted, "Herring's alive!" You see? And the people in the houses heard that and they came out with their plates to get the fish. But there was a joker boy and he went out one day and he got a prominent pint and he shouted, "Herring's alive!" And he watched and all the people came out with their plates, you see, to get fish. He was just joking. They knew this fellow was a fish man. You know, he brought fish. I'll just say that because probably it had got through to the Ninevites about Jonah. And he arrived in Nineveh. And I tell you, he was an exceptional character. And his background was that he had spent 3 days and three nights in a fish. And it seemed that God worked through it all. And that God worked through the message of Jonah. And what happened was, the people, now the 600,000, it doesn't say that the 600,000 were delivered, but the 600,000 were delivered. Because it says, the whole city. Isn't that powerful? And I just pray this morning, as I've looked at this, that the Lord will touch us with his word as we go ahead in our Christian experience. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to thee this morning and we're thankful too that we have a living Savior and one who's shortly coming again. Just pray, Lord, that you touch us this morning with your word, that it may help us. It's just to do with helping us from the word of God in each of our Christian experiences as we serve the Lord in the terrible days really in which we live. Just pray this and ask, Lord, for your help to be with us and to go with us. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.